Blog Talk Radio.
Seems like the more I climb, the hill gets steeper, and the more I rise, see I get deeper. It's like the more I give, see the more it's taken, and the more I'm loved, the more I'm hated.
Tearing down the walls and I'm and believing in a change, putting out the fire, enduring to the end.
Good morning, good afternoon, and to our people there in Africa, and good morning to our people in the United States. I'd like to say welcome to the Leading Change Revolution. This is your platform for unmatched inspiration, and this is the place where persistence overcomes resistance. Today, we are so motivated to be on air, to be communicating with you, our wonderful listeners. We want to thank you for all of your incredible support to this platform. And today, our motivation for the show comes from one of the favorite motivations from our director of operations. Our director for operations constantly reminds us that change is insignificant without growth. So your food for thought for today is that change is insignificant without growth. A man must see how he's growing to be able to understand why he's changing. Okay? And so today we are going to be having a very, very conversation. And before we actually bring in our studio guests, we want to provide the commentary for the conversation. Our topic today is titled Keeping Your Passion Alive in the Absence of Financial Support. Now, we all know the importance of resources. We all know, you know, after you develop a vision, you know, in order to take action, you need support, you need resources. But this topic, it's very important because we are going to be giving you a play-by-play analysis of what it means to passion alive in the absence of financial resources. And to discuss this conversation today, I'm going to be having in studio a distinguished and renowned published author. I'm going to be having Mr. Thomas Sodani, who is going to be discussing this conversation with me. But before we bring in Mr. Sodani, I just like to provide you a brief commentary on what we talk about here at Leading Change as our first, you know, key steps to keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial support. Now, many of you out there have dreams. Many of you out there have, you know, a clear sense of passion or where you want to do. But what we're going to talk about, you know, along this conversation today is uncommon and unconventional steps that would drive you to the point of initiating that self-drive and looking forward, you know, to the opportunity to give yourself the life of your dream. Okay, so right now, first thing I want to talk about is if you are out there and you're going to be listening to this conversation today, I just want to challenge you. I just want to challenge you to something real quick. When we open the line to talk to our callers, I just want you to answer this question, okay? How many of you out there have planted dreams and taken responsibility for it without blaming the world for having it sheltered? And how many of you have protected dreams? And how many of you have built endless hopes around your dreams? And we'll talk about that in subsequent time when we open the lines. But I just want you to keep those questions in mind so that when you're calling in today, we're going to talk about those things very extensively. Without much ado right now, I'd like to open the line right now to bring in my studio guest, Mr. Thomas Sodani. So Mr. Sodani and I are going to be having a conversation around keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial resources. Mr. Sodani, good morning and welcome to the Leading Change Revolution.
Good morning, Dan, and I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Sodani, so I've just been providing a brief perspective on the kind of conversation we're going to be having here today on the Leading Change Revolution. Keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial resources. Now, is this possible? You know, is this possible? Is this anything that is a miracle, or is this something that is workable, especially given, you know, the circumstances that are different with people? Some people are born in an environment of opportunity. Some people are born in a distant opportunity. Now, do you think this whole conversation we're having today is possible dream for people?
Yes, absolutely I do. And the reason I say that without equivocation is the fact that Scripture talks about without vision, men perish. And it's kind of, you know, pretty incredible that being able to, you know, have goals or be having passion for whatever it is that you may be trying or wanting to accomplish. There are many things that require absolutely no financial resources to do. You know, it doesn't take money to kind of sit down and think through, you know, what is it that I'm passionate about? What is it that I want to do? Perhaps writing on a piece of paper and then trying to figure out or talk to others, how do I get from point A to point B? And again, Scripture talks about, you know, with the counsel of many, your plans succeed, and seek wise counsel and you yourself become wise. And I think that that's really where it's important. If you're looking to do something, perhaps something very difficult, you want to seek out someone who has done what you're looking to do or is the person that you want to become. And that's why it's so important, and it doesn't necessarily cost any financial resources to do something like that. Finding a mentor, having a group of people that you can turn to seek guidance and seek counsel so that you're able to fulfill the passion that you may have in your heart, and that you know in your mind that you should be doing.
Yeah. I really like the part where you know, you said unequivocally, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do that doesn't take you having any bit of financial resources to move on. But one of the things I want us to talk about, Mr. Sodani, is let's go into this conversation, okay? Now, in today's world, life can throw many things at you, okay? Young people growing up, they have dreams, they have passion, you know, and sometimes family circumstances, faith circumstances, you know, and finances, you know, are some of the key bedrocks that you need to project you up there for success. Some people grow up in crumbling families. Families that are impoverished, the lack of resources, you know, and people grow up in the absence of faith. I know one of your key cornerstones for, you know, the opportunity for success is the idea of faith. But people grow up outside of those three key foundations. Now, people outside of those three key foundations, looking forward also to be successful because they are beautiful, you know, they deserve the opportunity, the chance for change. Now, outside of faith, finances and family support. Now, what are some of the steps and what are some of the things that, you know, people born in that kind of condition can be able to do to excel?
Well, really the sky is the limit there. I would never profess that there are only certain limits or certain things that any one individual can do. You know, it's kind of amazing that regardless of what your circumstances are, things can change. And sometimes they can change as simply as by making a decision to change them, because God gave us a wonderful brain in most instances that, you know, if we were just able to listen and we were able to stop and begin to focus on the things that are truly important. And oftentimes, you know, it's not necessarily, and I'll use the example of, you know, perhaps making money, that someone gets set on, well, I want to make a lot of money. Well, you'll probably never be really successful at doing that if you take the focus off that and say, what I want to focus on is just serving my fellow man, however that may be. You know, if that's making a product, if that's building a business, if that's working for somebody else to learn, you know, different skills and different trades, then so be it. But there should never be, you know, any type of limitation placed on somebody just because you came from a certain background, that you've experienced certain circumstances. Because if you look at Scripture and, you know, we're to find that God chose some of the lowliest people to become some of the greatest leaders. You know, for instance, like David, he was a shepherd. He was the youngest in his family, and he was a nobody compared to the rest of his brothers, but yet he became the greatest king in Israel and did all kinds of incredible things. You know, another one would be Joseph, where he was the most loved sons, but his brothers despised him because his father loved him, and he was sold into slavery. And even though it was the most tragic of situations, he rose to become one of the most powerful people in all of Egypt, you know, because he was faithful and simply took his circumstances and honored God by doing the very best that he could in those circumstances. And God honored him by lifting him up and, you know, giving him power, giving him wealth and all kinds of things. So it's interesting. If you're just open to that possibility, and open to hearing and, you know, following those dreams and those passions, I think anything is really possible.
First of all, a lot of people have challenge with faith. A lot of the examples you just gave, you know, it's from Scripture. And I know there are other examples, but people have challenge with the issue of faith. And what particularly does faith, you know, has to do with, you know, taking an individual from one stage to the other, regardless of their place of birth, whether the circumstances are harsh or are favorable?
Yeah, well, let me share a little bit, you know, of my own personal story, because I wasn't always a person of faith. Now, I grew up, you know, I went to school, you know, a private school and such, so I was raised in faith, but during my college years, I completely fell away, where I wasn't going to church, I wasn't praying, I wasn't reading Scripture, I wasn't doing anything, and quite the contrary, I was living a lifestyle of deprivation. And, you know, soon after that, I met a gal after I got out of college and we were dating. And what made this situation kind of unique was the fact that she had been married before. So I was a little bit leery. She also had five children. And, you know, that wasn't something that I took lightly at all. We dated for about 4 years. We were engaged. I asked her to marry me. We were engaged for one. And it was at that time, you know, I was trying to change my circumstances because I had been struggling with money for quite a while. And again, I didn't have my faith at that point. But things were really bad. And so I started going out and getting all types of jobs, all kinds of jobs. I think I had five jobs at one time, and I was working an amazing 155 hours a week. Now, there's only 168 in a week, I believe. So that leaves 13 for sleeping. Well, there's going to work, coming home, cleaning, cooking, all the other stuff of daily life. I ended up sleeping about 5 hours. So, you know, and I was doing this to pay off debt so that when we would get married, we'd be on a decent financial footing. Well, I ended up in the hospital. I had no health insurance, created a whole bunch of more debt. We still get married. Our first year of marriage was really difficult. And, you know, in situations like that, you know, I know people go through all kinds of situations that could be looked at as, yeah, well, mine was much worse. It certainly doesn't feel that way when you're in a bad situation, but we end up even homeless and have nearly split up my marriage. Things are going really bad, but when I was brought back to my faith, and this was kind of the interesting thing, that I was in a grocery store. I was looking at greeting cards, and the amazing part of this whole thing was that I wasn't there to buy anything because I had no money to buy anything. But I picked up a greeting card, and there was a Bible passage on it. And it was from Jeremiah 33:3, and it said, "Call out to me, and I will teach you great things." You see, the interesting thing about faith, I think God kind of built us with the ability to believe in something. And the question is, what are you going to believe in? And so I had this personal, almost like I would say it's a personal call. I knew exactly what it meant because I was looking for a situation to fix what was going on financially, and nothing seemed to be working. It was just creating a worse mess. And I was looking for something but didn't know what. And that greeting card changed everything. When I saw that, it was like, okay, this is the one thing that I hadn't changed. I knew exactly what I should do. I recommitted myself to Christ at that moment. I went home and looked it up just to make sure it's true. And then began to scour through and say, well, what else is in the Bible that can help me become the person that I am capable of becoming? Because at that point, I still didn't have any money. You know, so I just had to learn. And knowledge oftentimes you don't have to pay money to acquire it. You know, just reading books or studying. Seeking out other people to help, you know, and I started seeking out counseling from a priest and such. So it was an interesting situation. And again, you know, money at this point had nothing to do with it. Everything that I was doing at that point required absolutely no financial resources to do. You know, it doesn't cost anything to pick up a book and read it and then to take notes and try to change and pray. You know, about becoming the person that you're capable of becoming and that God wants us to become. So that's kind of where it started out for me, and I think that could be like a lot of people. You know, if you just make a decision that I want to change something in my life, I want to change something in my family, I want to change something in my community, I want to change something in my country, and then go about doing it.
I'm so excited about, you know, one of the key things you said. You talk about the human nature, and one of the key points you strike out that is very important into this conversation. The human spirit, like you said, we have been designed with the ability to believe in something. And no matter what you are doing, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you have that ability in you to believe in something. And like you said rightly, all that matters is what are you going to believe in? And the reason why I brought that, I remember for certain, you know, this dream that we have today that we're working on at Leading Change, it went through a lot of stages. And hope and belief was stage three of the process, you know. We'll talk about the other two stages, but I just wanted to bring that up. When you brought that, it's very key for our listeners out there. Now, no matter who you are and where you are, you have to recognize that you have been built with the ability to believe in something. And that ability is something that you have. Nobody can take that away from you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. It's inside of you. Now, the challenge, and which of course will be a driving point to this conversation, is for us to help you or to talk about how can you finally arrive at a point to believe in something. Okay, but Tom, let's go to your background, your story that you just gave. I always say to you, it's special. Your story is extraordinary. Okay, outside of faith or belief that you saw in yourself that drove you to the point, you know, of becoming who you are now, like becoming an author, becoming a public speaker, becoming a personal finance coach. What else? What was the other characteristics, you know, besides you believing in God and putting your trust in Him 100%? Is there any other characteristics that you have that drove you to this point in life?
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting. One of the things that I often share with people is that ever since I was a young child, I could see myself in front of groups of people speaking. I could never see the faces of the people whom I was speaking to, and I never knew what I was speaking to them about. I could just feel that I was there changing people's lives, and I could sense that the people were there looking to change their life. And I saw those visions. You know, I can think back at least to maybe second or third grade, so I had to have been anywhere from, you know, 6 years old to maybe 8 years old, that I can at least remember seeing these visions. And I never, as I said, knew what I would talk about. And it's kind of interesting how life will often hand you the lesson plan. You know, so, and I always, and I think as children, we often have big dreams because everything is possible when you're a child. And it's interesting, you know, scripture talks about, you know, coming to your faith with that thought of a child, you know, the way that a child views things. You know, if anyone has little babies or little toddlers as children, you know, you could be playing with them. You throw them up in the air to catch them, or in the swimming pool when they jump to you. They have absolutely no fear that you're not going to catch them. And it's interesting, as we grow older and have suffered setbacks or defeats, or, you know, had things impressed upon us, people telling us, oh, you can't do that, you're not good enough to do that, and we begin to believe those things. And it shouldn't be true, because I think as children, we all believe we can do great things. We're told we can do great things. And then things change as you become an adult, and kind of then we begin to settle. So in my heart, I would never settle for the fact that I'm only mediocre. I expected great things of myself. I envisioned great things for myself. And then it's just finding what it is that you're meant to do and then pursuing that with all of your passion.
Yeah, wonderful. Very wonderful. When we are kids, we are told that we can do great things, whether it's by our parents, our relatives, our friends. You know, the world is at our feet. We are promised greater things. But like you said, when we start growing up as adults, things change. Facing the real world, the circumstances are so different. But then again, we have to stand up for what we believe. We don't have to accept the fact that things change, but we have to look forward to that level of optimism that, you know, can make things work. But one of the key things, you know, before we end the first half of the conversation and take our first break, I want you to talk about, after you recognize that ability as a child, you know, and, you know, you had that belief in your faith, what role do you think, you know, your environment, the society played in you arriving at the point you are today?
Okay, that's a really interesting question. Once I rediscovered my path and embraced that, society had almost zero impact on what I did or didn't do, because normally society would say, well, you can't do that. Okay, you're not good enough to do that. Who are you to be doing something like that? And those were things that there was no way that you're going to have me believe that I'm not capable of doing what I'm doing and doing it even better and, you know, impacting more and more people. And it's kind of interesting. You know, there's lots of challenges that we go through in life. Everything from, you know, losing people in our families, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a, you know, brother, sister, mother, father, grandparents, friends, whether you have health challenges and become sick or disabled, you know, through injury or sickness, whatever it may be, financial challenges, perhaps you're dealing with addictions or, you know, psychological problems, or just, you know, employment or lack of employment, whatever it may be, challenges in your relationships. It's kind of interesting that every single day, it is a new day. And there was a saying, or, well, it is a saying by Coach Paul Bear Bryant. And what it really said is, this is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I am exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place. I have traded for it. I want it to be a gain and not a loss, good, not evil. Success, not failure, in order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it. And it's interesting, the one common thing that every single human person has is that we each have 24 hours in a day. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're employed, whether you're not, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're young, or whether you're old, we all have 24 hours in a day. And what we do with those that time makes all of the difference as to what occurs in our life and the lives of others.
Very interesting. Society had almost zero key. I have a clear understanding of that. That's strength. That's strength. That's not just, you know, a strength from the ordinary. It's extraordinary. I mean, psychologists, sociologists, and whatever, you know, they talk about the impact of the environment on our, you know, on our life, on our person, on our well-being, stuff like that. I mean, first of all, you already listed all of the issues: addiction, loss of loved one, lack of financial resources, divorce, marriage, breakup, all of those stuffs are the things that can break people down and possibly tear you apart. I mean, talking about how society had a zero impact on, you know, your steps towards your new direction and possibly where you've arrived today, it's very interesting. And I promise our audience that when we come back for the second half of this conversation, we definitely going to go more into that. And we're going to talk about the planting, the protection, and the hope for elevating your dreams. If you're just joining us, I've been in conversation with Mr. Thomas Odani. We've been talking about keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial resources. And this is the Leading Change Revolution, your platform for unmatched inspiration and the place where persistence overcomes resistance. Please stay on the line with us. Very soon after our break, we'll be right back to jump into the second half of this conversation.
Yeah, I want to dedicate this song to Africa, the 126. Let's go. I come to you humble and grateful for my freedom. Not only freedom physically, but freedom of
leave me cause I'm treating you wrong and I'm supposed to treat you right. Oh, don't leave me out in the cold. Treat me like I'm 12 years old. Visitor, I'm from Africa and I can stand wherever I want. Oh, I can see it so clearly. Soon as I stare in your eyes. Yeah, you're making more money than me. It don't mean I'm not qualified. I wake up every morning, smile on my face, thanking the Lord for giving me another opportunity to feed my family. Oh,
I try to come up, then you hold me down. First you let me in, then you kick me out.
Can somebody tell me, what is a man to do?
Every day I pray to the man of God, stop the hate and show me some love.
Turn to chapter 126. All she wanted for us was freedom.
I mean, freedom is all we ever want for us as individuals. Looking forward to the moment where you can finally get out there and live your God-given dream, live your God-given potential. And that's what the Leading Change Revolution is all about. Okay? So, back to our conversation. So, before we left in the first half of this conversation, we've been highlighting steps and challenging stories about how you can keep your passion alive in the absence of financial resources. Mr. Sudani has been outlining critical challenges. He talks about the fact that once he realized and recognized his past and embraced his past, society had almost zero impact on, you know, where he's arrived today. It's very interesting. One of the things we want to strike out, you know, for our audience is whenever you are dreaming, you have to recognize that dreams are only messages. You see, the dream is not for you until you can be able to turn the message into an inspiration. And that inspiration obviously should become your passion. So, in the absence of converting that message into an inspiration and definitely making it your passion, those things are only dreams. Nothing is going to happen. Okay. So this is where it's very important. When we're talking about the basic steps for keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial resources, I remember some of my mentors in Africa, we had a conversation about what we need to do, especially when we grow up in harsh and tough and challenging societies. A mentor of mine who is a former senator of our country. I remember, Tom, I was talking to him about my ideas about leading change and what we wanted to do. And given his experience in politics, you know, and understanding how he's gone across the challenging sections of developing nations, he said to me, he said, "Do you know that people can be destined for success, but conditioned to fail?" Prior to that day, Tom, I had never heard that in my life, that people can be destined for success, but conditioned to fail. And I decided to ask him, you know, to explain that statement, what he meant by that. You know what he said to me? He said, oftentimes when we are motivating, sometimes we create a gap in our motivation by letting them know that it doesn't matter the circumstances of where they were born or where they came from or how they live. He said, the truth is, how you were born and where you live in terms of comparison to the resources that are needed to increase the velocity of your chance towards success, you have to understand that a person born in rural Africa versus a person born in an urban city in an industrial nation, the velocity at which they approach success is very hugely different. Take, for instance, it took almost 15 years for kids in urban city in Africa to start using Microsoft Word as compared to kids in big cities in industrial nation. And that opportunity was what he was trying to strike out. Now, sometimes the environment can play a key role in how we become successful. But he didn't stop there. He talked to me about something else. He said, in spite of the fact that you can be conditioned to fail, there are steps that you have to take to limit the impact of the conditions that can lead towards, you know, possible failure of your dreams. And the first thing he talked to me about, he told me, he said, after you've gone through self-evaluation, the next thing you want to do is you have to plant your dream in your heart. He said a dream is useless until you have planted that dream. So first of all, what happens is that planting dream is like taking responsibility. You wouldn't want to plant a dream in your heart if you don't want to take responsibility. Because obviously as a farmer, when you have a farm, if you've planted your products, if you planted your seeds, you have to take responsibility to water them, to protect them, to grow them. Okay? And if you plant your dream in your heart, what you're saying to yourself is, I'm foregoing all of the conditions around me. My parents are sick. My parents didn't have money. I have no uncle. I have no auntie. I have no brother. I have no sister. I have to forego all of those challenges around me and plant my dream in my heart. And when I plant my dream, I'm saying to myself, I'm taking full responsibility for this dream to grow. I'm taking full responsibility. I'm accepting where I am and thinking on the real steps I'm going to take myself to where I want to go and who I want to become. And he said the only difference between planting your dreams, okay, and taking actions to making your dreams successful is protection. When you have planted your dreams, the next thing you have to do is to protect your dreams. And that's the part that you talk about, Tom, recognizing your past and embracing your past and saying to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to accept what society says today that I cannot become. All I'm going to take is the beliefs that I have, the beautiful memories. When I was a child, I was promised the globe. I was promised the epic zone of the final stage in life. But today what I see as a man is life struggles, the challenges that comes in. And finally, we talk about the third stage of keeping your passion alive, is that perpetual fuel which we all have. You see, it's very interesting, Tom, that most of the time, many of us think that the only time we are hopeful is when we actually think that we are hoping for something. But the truth is, hope is part of that ability you spoke about in this first half of the conversation. We are designed with the ability to hope. Now, I know for sure that we go to bed every night hoping that we're going to wake up the next morning. Even though some of us don't think that we're really hoping, but indeed the reason why we go to bed is because we hope that we're going to get up the next morning. Because if you are not sure that you're going to get up the next morning, I've seen some people who are afraid to sleep on always on December 31st. People are afraid to go to bed on December 31st because, you know, the next day is January 1st. And people say, you know what? I'm afraid to sleep because I don't know if I'm going to see January 1st. But hope is what takes us to bed with the belief that we're going to wake up to see the next morning. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, once you have planted your dreams in your heart, and you've taken steps to protect your dream, the next thing you have to use the ability of hope. And when you start hoping, you will understand that hope is that perpetual fuel that drives us to believe that life has a meaning, no matter what our circumstances are. And that is what today Mr. Sudani and I have been talking about, and that is what we'll continue to extend conversation. The next thing I want us to talk about, Mr. Sudani, okay? This is my life, okay, for example. I remember for 4 years, people told me that what we were trying to do back in Africa was too big. And I can still record, if I had not planted this dream on my heart, today you and I wouldn't have possibly been talking about leading change and talking about the leading change revolution. So sometimes the benefit is never always instant. And that example too also works for you, you know, Mr. Sudani, because you can see, look at what you did, coming, you know, out of a tough life, meeting a woman who already had 5 kids, asking her to marry you, today, only to realize that you cannot even measure the incredible success of what you've been going through. You know, so what I want us to talk about is that the success does not have to be instant. That belief.
Well, yeah, there's actually 6 things that I would give people, and then I would ask for 3 commitments from people. Okay, and the first one, you know, you're so right when you talk about, you know, people having a dream, and a dream is simply a thought within your head, you know, of doing something great or doing something, okay? But to begin to make that dream a reality, it has to be brought to life, and the way that you bring it to life is by writing it down. If you do not write it down, it will only stay in your head as a dream, wish, want, or desire. Once you put it on paper, it begins to come to life. And again, that doesn't make it easy, but there's a great passage out of Proverbs that talks about the plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty. Okay? And once you begin to write that down, it begins to help develop that protection that you're talking about, because it begins to bring it to life. And once you have a plan of what you want to do, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, hey, I want to start a business. Well, what kind of business would you, how do you go from nothing to starting a business? Okay. And that really falls into the second one that I talk about and teach people, which is belief. Whether you believe you can do something or you can't do something, you will always be right. And this will directly affect how you feel towards doing something, again, regardless of what it is. All right. And there's a great passage from 2 Corinthians. It says, going by faith and not by sight. Because sometimes it can be difficult to believe in something that you've never done before or you don't know exactly how to do. You just have this dream of doing it and seeking guidance and just having faith and belief that, yes, it can be done because perhaps others have done it. And I'm just going to take that a step further. Because then that third one is the feelings that people have. And again, whether they're good or bad feelings, these are the view on things, and they will directly affect your attitude towards accomplishing or not accomplishing your goal. And if you've ever had a good attitude about something, something that you really like doing, it's never difficult to do that. If it's something that you have a bad attitude towards, you know, say trying to stay in shape or trying to get, you know, some work done that you would rather not do, but if you have a good attitude, you're going to do it. It's interesting, a passage from Jeremiah that kind of talks to that says, I, the Lord alone, probe the mind and test the heart to reward everyone according to his ways. But you're going to get what you put into it, out of it, what you put into it, for attitude. Okay, so your feelings affect your attitudes. And again, good or bad, your attitudes will directly affect your day-to-day actions. Remember that saying, you're going to trade your time to do with your time, whether it's good or bad, whether it's evil or not. You know, you're trading your time for something. So what types of attitudes and actions are you going to have? And there's very little difference between a person of success and a failure, but that very big, that little difference is very big. That difference is the attitude that people have. And there's a passage from Ephesians that speaks to that. It says that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth. So that talks about us changing the type of person that we are and becoming more like Jesus Christ. And the fifth one will be the actions. Those will be the things that you do day to day that will help you get towards, or they will bring you away from your goal. So if you say you have a goal of being in business, but then all you go and do is play games or watch television or do things that are unwise, you'll never attain the goal of building your business. Okay, and this will make or break your realization of the attainment of your goal. And Wayne Gretzky, who is a famous athlete, once said, "You will always miss 100% of the shots that you never take." All right, and there was a passage in Corinthians that speaks to this, and Paul was talking about, he said, "Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? So run as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Thus, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing. No, I drive my body to train it, for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." And then the final one will be the result. And this will be in direct proportion to everything that went into it before that. And Proverbs says, "Entrust your works to the Lord, and your plans will succeed." So those six things, if you do that, that is how you attain your goals.
Mr. Sodani, that's so wonderful. I'm moved, okay? Before we talk to a few of our callers to contribute on the line here, I just like to drop this in real quickly. If you believe in your passion, then try to turn your passion into possibilities. That's the chance you have. But right now, let's go into the line to talk to Jenkins. Okay, Jenkins, hello and welcome to the Leading Change Revolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chives. I really appreciate you getting me on today, and it's a pleasure to talk to the rest of the folks out there live. Well, I've been familiar with the Leading Change Revolution back there in Africa, and it is really great to know that you have extended such an effort over here to America. You see, the topic today is really in line with the establishment of Leading Change, and that is exactly what we had back there in Africa when you try to put this great piece of accomplishment together.
Yeah, Jenkins.
I must take this time to say I'm so much interested, as much as some other folks here in South Dakota that I've already reached to, and explain to them how important this program is. And I think next Saturday, some of them are willing to be major contributors to it. Well, quite naturally, human beings have an inborn tendency of making more without first thing of a finance, because the very origin of civilization came about when there was nothing called money, which is to be the medium of exchange. We had the barter system put in place that we dealt with. People acquired knowledge by having mentors and by making moves. So our passion, our desire to act, and the mode in which we accomplish anything we start or perceive in our mind is really by making the first move, which is you must have made a plan and take the first step in accomplishing your plans or your goals. So that can be done without finesse. That can be done in some very difficult situation, and that can be done based on your mindset. We were all kids. We were all babies. We had a passion to crawl, and we had a passion to walk. No one ever told us you can do that, or no one ever had a finesse or any money put in place to have that successful. But you woke up one day after crawling, get up on the couch or on the dining table to try to walk. That is the passion you had. And that passion was accomplished because you took the first step. So humans should have in their mind that things are very successful without finesse. But finesse comes in later to make an accomplishment whole. Where do you get the money? How do you get the money? It is actually phase two of your effort after you've taken the first step. There are folks you meet out there who will tell you, well, I have seen what you have in you. I have seen what you are doing. And I think it has great impact on the society, when in fact, we can try to put a little money into it and make it an accomplishment. That's how finance plays in such an effort. So that is an inspirational topic today that many people can really rely on and, in fact, run our daily activities. For the fact that we can get out there and see folks going to work, folks going to school, people doing a lot of things, it means they have the passion and they started moving towards it. That's why humans don't sleep all day, because we are quite naturally born with this. And we just got to go about executing them and put finance in the second phase, because the money is going to come and someone is even going to get things done for you that you've never thought before in your life that's going to be possible. So my advice today and my contribution to this program is very simple. Whatever you have in mind to do, whatever passion you have had, start that. Take the first step. The financial aspect of it comes later when you reach phase two. People have seen what you can do, and people feel it's meaningful to contribute to that financially to get you successful. That's how we were made as humans. So this is planted in your mind, and that's how we should operate with it. So I really appreciate you, and I think this program is worth it. Well, I promise you that many contributors here in South Dakota will be coming on based on the time availability you have, and I think Little Change has now become a global force that we can all appreciate.
Thank you very much, Jenkins, for your contribution to the Leading Change Revolution today. We had a lot of calls dropping, but Mr. Sodani, what we want to do now, we have a little over 3 minutes to wrap up. Can you just give us your parting comments?
Well, yeah. I really do agree, and you know, oftentimes people might ask the question, you know, well, I'm at a point in my life where I need money to do a certain thing. And that's where, I think faith comes in so importantly, is the fact that if you're seeking God's will and you're following God's will, he's not going to leave you without the resources that you need to accomplish his will. He will provide them. And I think what people often don't do is tap into that by having leading them to where or how God will provide, because he promises he will do that. And this is why exactly I take the faith approach to what I do and how I teach and such, because I applied it to my own life, and I've watched other people, regardless of their circumstances, change their lives. I'm not saying that it happens overnight or miraculously. Yes, there have been miracles that I've witnessed, but you're guaranteed to win when you follow God's will. And as I said, there were three commitments that I want to leave the listeners to kind of think about and think in their heart, yes, I'm willing to commit to something like that. And the first one I would ask people to commit to would be committing themselves to honoring God with your time, because your days will be filled with profound purpose and meaning I would say daily prayer, daily study of scripture, and other such actions contribute to spiritual growth and development. And when that occurs, it's kind of the keystone to becoming an exceptional person, to attaining exceptional things when you yield yourself to that. And there's a psalm that talks about, I will instruct you and show you the way you should walk, give you counsel and watch over you. So it's very important. So in your heart, are you willing to make that commitment to honoring God with your time? The second commitment I would leave people with would be honoring God with your actions and deeds. And you'll find that your life will be filled with profound purpose and meaning. Righteous actions and deeds are the cornerstone to fulfilling the commandment that we love one another, understanding that we're called to put away our old self, okay, our old way of life, and put on a new self, a new way of life. And that passage from Ephesians talked about that. So are you willing to make that commitment to honor God with your actions every single day? And then the third commitment I would tell people, commit yourself to honoring God with your life, understanding that your life has been purchased for a price, it is short, and we should it should never be wasted or filled with trivial matters. And we have been called to a new way of thinking and a new way of living. And I ask that you commit yourself to understand that God will often test your heart, letting you decide how you spend your time and how all of that stuff will be done. And are you going to spend it wisely? And there's a passage from John 10:10 that said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sodani. We have been in conversation with Mr. Sodani today on the topic, keeping your passion alive in the absence of financial resources. This is the Leading Change Revolution, your platform for unmatched inspiration and the place where persistence overcomes resistance. I know a lot of you out there have fears. You see, fear kills dreams. Fear kills hope. Now, fear can be a burden. It can hold you back from taking steps and doing things that you know you can do, things that you have the capabilities to do. Now, all you have to do is to say to yourself that you are going to accept where you are, and you're going to take the full responsibility to take yourself to where you want to go. The world does not pity a failure. Success is the symbol of respect. You have to be able to drive yourself towards that point and gain the credibility that you need for people to follow you. I encourage you to take a stand now for your life. Life is beautiful when you have a purpose. We talk about finding a purpose. We talk about recognizing competition. We talk about diversifying dreams. We talk about partnering if necessary. And we talk about moving in little steps. Find your courage. Find your hope, and you will make a difference. Join us next week, same time, same place, for another wonderful topic. Goodbye.